Did somebody say semifinals? Hello and welcome to the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Lucas Aykroyd and Caroline Schved here with you. Lucas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, you think this is a long tournament, and then suddenly it's like, oh, wow, it's semifinals time. How did we get here?
That's exactly it. And this episode is all about crunch time out in Riga. We've got two huge semifinal clashes to preview ahead of face-off tomorrow. And obviously, there's no time like the present. So let's get to it, Lucas. First up, everyone is excited about this matchup, USA versus Canada. And as much as I hate to admit it, I've got to admit it, I'm hoping at least one team with a Maple Leaf on their jersey is going to bring home a championship this year. Since it won't be my Maple Leafs, I'm hoping it's Team Canada. Lucas, how do you like Canada's chances against the Americans?
Well, you know, Caroline, it's funny. I was talking to another writer after Canada beat the ROC team 2-1 in overtime in the quarterfinal. And we were saying, you know, our lovable Latvians, they must be bewildered here. Like, remember, they beat Canada 2-0 in their opener. And it just looked like Coach Gerard Gallant's team was going down the tubes from there. They were outscored 8-2 on aggregate by the U.S. and Germany in their next two games. And now you look and go, can this possibly be the same Canadian team that dug itself such a deep hole and even nearly missed making the playoffs? But that's the beauty of hockey, right? And it's an age-old tale for Canada, starting slow. Not just, you know, the 1972 Summit Series, but, say, the 1984 Canada Cup. There was a team with Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, Mike Bossy. Those guys might not even have made the playoffs if Czechoslovakia hadn't had a subpar tournament. You know, the Canadian hockey DNA just says go when it's playoff time. Now, Canada, of course, doesn't always win, but they rarely bow out in the playoffs without giving that proverbial 110%. So, to answer your question, I think Canada has a solid chance to make the gold medal game for the second time in a row, and actually the fifth time in the last six tournaments.
It's funny because people who have been casually following this World Championship in Riga would never have expected the way Canada started to end up being a team that goes to the semifinal. But with saying everything that we just said, what could spoil Canada's hopes of completing their miraculous turnaround in Riga?
Well, as I keep saying, this American team isn't just run-and-gun hockey built for the highlight reel. They've allowed just 9 goals in 8 games, and that is a tremendous defensive effort under coach Jack Capuano. And it starts in net. Look at Cal Peterson, coming off his breakthrough season with the LA Kings at age 26. This man has been rock solid. My old friend Kevin Woodley, who writes for In Goal magazine, recently summarized Peterson's style for The Athletic. Quote, Peterson has a nice blend of a strong technical foundation and ability to process and read the game at speed, but still shows a willingness to go outside the box when needed and just battle. What really sets him apart is his skating and patience holding his edges, which is increasingly important against more dynamic east-west attacks. End quote. So when I read dynamic east-west attacks, I thought, man, remember Troy Stetcher's pass to Andrew Mangiapane on the OT winner versus Russia? How dynamic was that? So you've got Peterson and Jake Ottinger as a very nice plan B. Not a single active U.S. player has a negative plus minus, which says something, with defenseman Christian Wolanin tied for the team lead at plus 8, along with Jason Robertson. And Robertson. I mean, this kid has been such a pleasure to watch in Riga alongside Trevor Moore and Connor Garland. I still think Kirill Kaprizov has the inside track on the Calder Trophy, but can you imagine Robertson coming home with a gold medal around his neck to end the long U.S. drought at this tournament? That'd be some pretty good consolation and vindication right there. And, you know, a 7-game winning streak, Caroline. You know from your own career as an athlete what it feels like in the locker room when you get on that kind of roll. I think the U.S. will be hard to stop. Colin Blackwell talks about what it would mean to go all the way. Take a listen.
Why not us? I think we got a lot of character in this room and guys who have come together really quickly. And there's a lot of people that for the first time in their careers, they're representing and have the United States on their chest. And, you know, it's truly a huge honor. So For us to go out there and do that, it would mean the world to the guys in the group, a lot of the coaching staff and the trainers and everybody that comes here. I think we talk about the guys in the group that have been awesome. It goes all the way across the organization. Everybody here has been awesome and super positive, and you know, we feel like a family. So in order to do that, you know, it's going to take everybody, and you know, it would mean the world to all of us if we could bring that back home.
All right, Lucas, so what's going to be the deciding factor in this game?
Well, it's going to be a North American-style game, and it's going to depend on who plays that game best. Pucks in deep, physical in the corners. Who's going to distract the goalie, get the puck to the net, and get a couple of greasy goals? I think if one side gets that early lead, then you'll see the other side open up, start to take more offensive chances, try to score off the rush. More room for the Mangiapanis and Connor Browns or the Robertsons and Garlands to strut their stuff. But ultimately, I see will over skill prevailing here. And a scoreline similar to the last semifinal meeting between these two rivals would not surprise me. Canada beating the US 4-3 in Moscow back in 2016. Again, the Americans do have the edge on paper, but watch out for those Canadian intangibles.
Awesome stuff, Lucas. Now I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. A couple days ago, you mentioned the 2004 Disney movie Miracle starring Kurt Russell, which is, fun fact, one of my favorite sports movies ever. Mm-hmm. And you actually visited the set on assignment when the movie was shot in Vancouver. What was that like? / that's so amazing.
Well, I was super lucky, and Vancouver's kind of a movie-making mecca, so you got to take advantage, right? I mean, this was a chance for me to write about a film portraying the 1980 U.S. Miracle on Ice win over the Soviets at the Lake Placid Olympics. And, yeah, it gives you chills just thinking about it.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
When I visited the set, I got off to a great start. So the day I visited the set at the PNE Agrodome, right next to the old Pacific Coliseum where the Canucks used to play, the publicist meets me and says, "Our director, Gavin O'Connor, is still busy, so you'll have to wait a little bit for your interview. Have you had lunch? Why don't you enjoy our catering over here?" Yeah, so that sounds good. I get this big hamburger, all the fixings, and I'm munching away. My hands and face are basically covered in ketchup and mustard. And just at that moment, perfect timing, the publicist comes back and says, "Okay, the director's ready. Follow me."
Never fails.
Never fails.
Did you smell like ketchup?
I was just everywhere. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was a mess. But okay, so I'm grabbing napkins really fast and cleaning up. And then the next thing that happened was like pure Hollywood. I was told to step into a limousine. And we then drove maybe 100 meters to director Gavin O'Connor's trailer where we did the interview. I was thinking, no, I'm young and healthy. I probably could have walked, but you know, Hollywood. Anyway, right. we had a great conversation, and the publicist was very rigorous about keeping it the 15 minutes. Like when we get the 13 and a half, she's in the background slashing her throat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but one, you know the drill, right? But
I totally know that.
Yeah, it was very managed. But nonetheless, one great thing he told me was I wanted it to be a character study of U.S. head coach Herb Brooks, who, in a way, put his family on the shelf to chase his dream. And, you know, to me, looking back, it's not just a hockey movie, right? It's a human drama, and that's something that makes the movie so compelling.
That's a big reason why I loved it. But question of the hour, did you meet Kurt Russell?
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
I actually just saw Kurt Russell from a distance with the prosthetic nose he wore to look more like Herb Brooks. But I hung out with Ryan Walter, who actually played at 3 World Championships and won the 86 Stanley Cup with Montreal. He was working as a hockey consultant on the movie and actually even portrayed referee Carl Gustav Keisla in the Miracle on Ice game. And so Ryan and I talked about how they choreographed all the hockey plays, how they vetted all the extras who were coming in. And he even told me about how they got this Vancouver lawyer named Roger Watts, who was like a Vladislav Tretiak fanatic, to portray Tretiak. And then there were all these ex-NHLers like Bill Ranford as Jim Craig. I mean, it was just so cool.
Now tell me, what did the actual set look like and maybe even feel like to be there?
Oh, well, anybody who's seen the movie, which is now a modern classic, can attest to the level of detail. Being at the PNE Agrodome, it was all mocked up to look like the Lake Placid Olympics. The level of detail was just amazing. Like, they'd totally repainted the arena with Olympic logos, flags, merchandise booths, and then even just looking at the actors and the costuming. They were reenacting the 7-3 U.S. win over Czechoslovakia the day I visited, and it was like I had traveled back in time to 1980. Everything from the Czechoslovakian goalie's puffy chest protector to the big bushy haircuts on Team USA.
Honestly, Lucas, I could really listen to you talk about this all day, maybe another time, but I hate to cut you short, but we have to return to the present and go back to Riga for our second preview of our episode, semifinal match between Finland and Germany. So we're trend watching here, Lucas, and one stat that jumps out for both Finland and Germany heading into the semifinals is how tight their games are. Germany has won its last two games by just one goal. The Finns have won their last four by just one goal. What does that say about both of these teams' mindsets?
Both sides are going to play to the bitter end. And they're completely comfortable with close games. Just, you know, that comfort factor, like putting on an old Metallica t-shirt or your favorite pair of lederhosen. It just fits. ask the Swiss, right? They had their tickets punched to the semifinals until Germany's Leon Gavankis scored the 2-2 tying goal with under 1 minute left. And then, of course, Marcel Nobles with the cheeky shootout winner. Toni Söderholm, just like Jukka Jalonen, he gets that total buy-in from his players to stick to the system, defend ruthlessly, and believe if you get enough pucks to the opposing team's net, one is going to go in eventually. It's grim but effective hockey, kind of like Metallica's Creeping Death. So let it be written, so let it be done. I'm set here by the chosen one. So let it be written, so let it be done. To kill the firstborn Pharaoh's son. Well, I'm creeping death. Now, I'm sure, Caroline, you can see how this functions as a lyrical representation of what's going to happen in the neutral zone on Saturday.
That's exactly what I was thinking as you sung that, and I totally didn't see any of that coming, but clearly, Lucas, if it makes you happy, you keep doing your thing.
Anyways, I will.
Who do you like as potential heroes in this semifinal?
Well, you hate to take these goalies for granted, but certainly the starters, Jussi Olkinuora and Matthias Niederberger, they've been monumental so far. And, you know, one of these goalies is going to make more game-changing saves than his counterpart on Saturday. But scoring-wise, I'm loving Anton Lundell's ability to rise to the occasion at age 19 for Finland. Leading the team with 4 goals and 6 points, including the winner against Latvia and the primary assist on the tying goal against Canada. Arttu Ruotsalainen and Iiro Pakarinen in the mix there as well. And, you know, I'm not ruling out Marko Mörkö Anttila reviving some of his 2019 magic. On the German side, you probably look to the veterans like Nobles, Matthias Plakta, and 2-time Stanley Cup champ Tom Kuhnhackl. But I'm also intrigued by Dominic Cahoon. This guy is averaging nearly 18 minutes a game through 3 games, still without a goal, but he got a big assist on the Gavanke goal, and he also scored in the shootout in the quarterfinal. Like a well-shaken bottle of Hefeweizen, this gifted Edmonton Oilers forward might be ready to explode here.
Oh my goodness. Okay, like an aggressive forechecker, I'm going to force you into a corner here, Lucas. Who wins and what's the final score?
Oh boy. We didn't do this with US-Canada. I can't believe you're doing this to me. All right, fine. Let's say Finland 2, Germany 1. I don't run a psychic hotline like you, so I can't say for sure. In fact, I'm not 100% comfortable with my prediction. I mean, I do like the Finns overall, but who knows, right? At our tournament of upsets, it's like the highway to the danger zone.
Lucy is on the ball again. We gotta love her. Everyone give a shout out to producer Lucy, the best in the biz.
Producer Lucy. I'm not going to sing along with this one, Caroline. After obviously Klaus Meine and I kind of butted heads on Still Loving You yesterday, I'll let Kenny Loggins do all the work here. But I'm sure Tom Cruise is overjoyed with the free advertising for his Top Gun sequel coming out in November. And I personally can't wait to see our Top Guns flying high in the Final Four on Saturday.
Awesome stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for the Totally Ice Hockey Show today. A big thank you to Lucas Aykroyd for giving us the best previews possible ahead of all of our semifinal matches tomorrow. Don't forget to watch. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow because we'll speak to you again and look ahead to Sunday's final. I can't believe we're already there. But for now, it's goodbye.
Woo!
Woo!